Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. It's a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. And most importantly, it is game day at the Big Ten Tournament tonight for the Indiana Hoosiers, a game that everyone recognizes Indiana has to win, no question about it. It's a win tonight if they beat Nebraska that really doesn't give anything sparkling to the resume for the NCAA Tournament. Not sure that it changes anything if they win tonight as far as the NCAA tournament goes. However, a loss tonight, I think many others think, could be devastating for this team given the fact that Nebraska is absolutely not a good loss and really not a good win. This Nebraska team, two of its key players that average 24 or so points were suspended indefinitely late in the season. And then Coach Fred Hoiberg announcing earlier this week that those two guys would not make the trip to the Big Ten tournament. Nebraska announcing yesterday they're going to add two football players to the roster. One's a big 6'8 bruiser, the other a 6'1 guard. So, I mean, think about that for just a second. Let that sink in. We're headed to the conference tournament. The regular season is in the books, and Nebraska is adding football players to its roster to fill out the roster, make sure they have plenty to play. Just a crazy situation. But think about what's going on right now in the world of sports, and even more importantly than that, just the world of civilization. We're talking about sporting events being canceled or sporting events being played without fans in the stands because of the coronavirus. And you think this is a sports show, we're going to talk mainly sports, but I think we have to be aware of that because this thing is changing. It was a daily basis. Now it seems like it's almost a somewhat hourly basis. In fact, just earlier, before we came on the air today, the NCAA canceled a media teleconference, which was scheduled with the basketball committee chair, Kevin White, who's the Duke athletic director that heads up the selection committee that you always see on TV on Selection Sunday after the show is over with, talking about some of the teams on the bubble that made it or didn't make it. And I don't know what that means, but it's awful odd for the NCAA to cancel. They have a few of those teleconferences leading up to the Selection Sunday show. Awful odd of them to cancel it, but obviously there are other things going on. And do I think it means the NCAA tournament's getting canceled? I sure don't think so. But clearly, because of some health department, state governor recommendations, lawmaker recommendations across the country, including just nearby in Ohio, sporting events are going to be affected, and it's going to be really interesting to see eventually if there's not almost a blanket policy that is adapted by each state or even by the NCAA for all of the first round locations. Because yesterday the Ohio governor saying for large events, maybe it was over 250 people. There have been so many different numbers thrown around with this, but I think in Ohio maybe over 250 people, they can't happen. With people, normally with full spectators there in an arena. So crazy stuff, including yesterday, the Ohio High School Athletic Association. And of course, you know how excited we all are about the high school state tournament that's underway. Four local teams from Clark and Floyd counties heading to the regional round on Saturday morning. But Ohio getting ready to begin their, I think it's the regional level of their tournaments. And they announced yesterday, after the governor's announcement and recommendations, that at regional tournament events, let me pull this up so I can read it to you, at regional tournament events beginning Wednesday, student athletes on the participating school tournament roster, players and cheerleaders, can designate four family members to purchase a ticket for the game. Coaches for that team can each designate two family members to purchase tickets. School administrators get one free ticket with one guest, and bus drivers as well. Each regional site will work with the participating schools regarding its team list and ticket sales process, which will be cash only at entry. Now, that's Ohio. That's not Indiana, but it's close to home. And as this thing gets more concerning, as there are more cases in America, in the Midwest, there really aren't that many in the Midwest right now, but again, it looks like that there are more popping up here and there. You have to wonder eventually, how's this going to affect the NCAA tournament as a whole? How's this going to affect maybe the Indiana High School Athletic Association tournament? I don't think it's going to affect anything this weekend. Maybe Indiana will be lucky and get through the whole thing with no problem. But this has definitely, I think, caused all of us to stop and think. There's two schools of thought. One is that the media is feeding us overload on this and that some of this is ridiculous. And the other is that, hey, this is something that if it really pops off, if it breaks off, you got to be aware of, and you got to, you know, maybe some of this stuff isn't too far out of line when you think about hospitals and the need for doctors and other things that come along with this. So very interesting time, and it's always interesting how things outside of sports affect sport, and it's especially interesting when it's something like college basketball in the NCAA tournament. And of course, it's not just that, but that's something that we in this part of the country really care about, and it's this great time of year. It should be the first day of conference tournament play when everybody's excited that it's wall-to-wall basketball basically from tonight on here in the month of March. But, of course, other things going on kind of make you keep a watchful eye on that stuff as well and maybe a little bit of worry about it. So going to be interesting. Lots going on out there right now. Lots of stuff going on. It's not all good stuff either. But, hey, it is game day. The Big Ten tournament is going to be wild and crazy. The Big Ten women's tournament was just played, and you've got to believe that the Big Ten men's tournament in Indianapolis will go off fine this weekend. So going to be interesting to see some big moments ahead for Indiana, kind of getting back to the real-life stuff here, the basketball, the success needed for this team to get in the NCAA tournament. I've talked some about Nebraska. I think that's the general school of thought. That this team needs to be successful tonight. And some would tell you that they're going to have to move on tomorrow night on Thursday and take on Penn State, who sets to meet the winner of tonight's IU-Nebraska game, and they need to be successful in that game. And I think a win against Penn State definitely clinches things for Indiana, the NCAA tournament, that is. But some tell you that they're okay now, and some will tell you they're okay now as long as they don't lose to Nebraska tonight. So going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. And again, this Nebraska situation, is crazy as things have been with Indiana coming down the stretch, and are they going to get to the tournament and how the team's going to play. And I do think Indiana's playing better generally, and I do expect them to win tonight, and I do think that they will be a very tough challenge if not beat Penn State. I do think they can play with Maryland, who sits to take on the winner of Penn State and the IU-Nebraska winner. I do think Indiana can make a run deep into this tournament. I really do. I also think Indiana is very capable of losing to Penn State tomorrow night. I don't think there'll be a problem tonight unless things go absolutely crazy. But as wild as things have been, just think about the Nebraska situation for a moment. Two players that averaged 24 or so points gone at the end of the season. Those two players don't make the postseason trip to the conference tournament. And then you add two football players. Just an amazing thing. Stuff you don't see every day in college basketball or in sports. Seems like we got a lot of that going on right now. Welcome into this Wednesday program. Lots to get to today. The show lineup, segment one, we've got some Zaxby's headlines. Segment two coming up a little bit later. We'll be joined, as always, on Wednesdays by Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Segment three coming up later. Had a fun chat so far Monday and Tuesday with two of the four high school coaches that are taking their teams to the regionals here in Indiana this week. It was Todd Sturgeon on Monday, Brandon Hoffman on Tuesday. Today, Ryan Miller of Providence joins the show, And very exciting times at Providence with their success this year under first-year head coach Ryan Miller. And, of course, winning the sectional last week. It was a really good week to be a Pioneer. And we'll talk with Coach Miller about that coming up. And also look at the regional when he joins us a little bit later in the show. And then we'll wrap things up today with Josh Cook, the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He will be in studio with me. And, yes, we'll talk about all the regionals coming up on Saturday and some other local sports headlines as well. That's the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch that will be made to order for you at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's quickly look at some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. I've covered a lot of things here at the open of the show, just how crazy of a time it is right now. But the Big Ten tournament starting, lots of interest. I've talked to lots of people that are going and look forward to taking in not just the Indiana game tonight, but hopefully some other really competitive matchups. Of course, for Indiana, it starts with Nebraska. And very interesting situation for the Horn, the Nebraska Huskers. Obviously, you know, we've talked some about Cam Mack and Deshaun Burke that are not traveling with the team and will not play this week at the Big Ten tournament. It was announced by Fred Hoiberg that they would be indefinitely suspended the day before Nebraska's regular season game, which was played at Minnesota. Not much else has been said about the suspension. Burke did tweet a statement early Tuesday apologizing to fans. He said in his statement his suspension was the result of missing team curfew on Friday night when they were in Minneapolis. So, again, that's what he says. Nothing else from the school or anything else has really been said about that situation at this time. But interesting that Nebraska adding some football players to its roster. You can add that to the list of things that you just don't see every day in college basketball, especially at this time of year. I mean, I've heard of programs that maybe have some injuries like in the off season and are short scholarship players, or there's a new coach that takes over and he cleans house and they have some open roster spots and they're just looking for some athletes or some bruisers or some practice players that, you know, are committed to helping the program and good stewards of the university. And so there have been times where you hear, yeah, they added a couple football guys to help them stay in shape and get some practice and conditioning that wanted to support the team and maybe played high school basketball. But it's not often you hear it at the end of the season when you're going into tournament play, and whether you're at the top of the conference or near the bottom like Nebraska, you know, you want to be playing your best basketball. You want to have your rotations down pretty good. And when you lose two key players from your rotation, obviously just a crazy situation. I mentioned the NCAA. We're tracking everything going on right now with conference tournaments. The MAC tournament over in Ohio, it's going to be played, but without fans. It's going to have immediate family. Media obviously will be there. I mentioned the Ohio State tournament in basketball, some of the actions that they have taken after the recommendation from their governor. And, of course, interestingly enough, the NCAA has put out some pretty general statements so far about the coronavirus and how it could potentially affect or not affect the upcoming NCAA tournament and kind of who they would listen to, how they were going to handle things. But there's been, I don't want to say reports, but there's sure some thought out there from people in the know that maybe the NCAA's thought on all of this situation, on how they're going to handle this situation, has changed some. And, of course, when you get governors at different states basically mandating public events and who can be there and things like that, obviously your idea has to change. But it is interesting they canceled the teleconference with Chairman White today of the Basketball Selection Committee. That tells me, I think it should tell everyone, that obviously there are some more important discussions going on, believe it or not, than just who's on the bubble, who's not on the bubble. And the NCAA knows anytime you open up one of those teleconferences with media, it's going to get played back with lots of people. There's going to be lots of questions, lots of reporters on the line. Obviously, they need to get their ducks in a row on how they are handling or will handle other situations as they arrive. And I think at this point we can kind of expect that there are going to be more cases of this coronavirus I think it's a matter of how quick it spreads or doesn't spread. But obviously, I think lots of states each day, it seems, announcing a couple more cases, one more case. So I think it's definitely something that's going to continue to be on the forefront. And it's going to be really interesting to see how all this plays out here in the next few days with the NCAA tournament just around the corner. ACC tournament going to be played as scheduled with fans. Big Ten tournament going to be played as scheduled with fans. A lot of the high major conferences in states that haven't made any kind of mandates are still pushing ahead. Kentucky, I saw the governor earlier today, Governor Beshear, recommending that churches cancel for Sunday just to kind of be safe and help spread any additional cases of the virus. But yet no mention of the Sweet 16. The girls' tournament gets started. It might even be today in Lexington, definitely by tomorrow. And the boys' tournament gets started a week from today in Lexington as well. So interesting times ahead. That's a look at our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We'll head to a quick commercial break. When we come back, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. We were going to talk all about IU at Nebraska, and we'll still talk some of that, but I think we got to talk now about some of these other topics, like the teleconference being canceled and maybe what Dustin's hearing as far as NCAA tournament first round, second round sites. Will they be played at all? I think the answer is yes. Will they be on television? Obviously, if they're played, yes. But will fans, general admission, tickets that have been sold now for a long time, will they be admitted to some of these games with everything going on? Going to be very interesting, and we'll talk with Dustin about that, IU, and more coming up next on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic and joins us Wednesdays to talk about all of it and more here on the radio show. I was going to start with IU Nebraska, the Big Ten tournament, things like that tonight, Dustin. But, gosh, a lot going on in the landscape of the world and sports. And will fans be admitted to the NCAA tournament and NCAA conference calls being canceled? It's just a wild and wacky time right now. Any thought on that sort of thing before we get started? What do you make of the selection committee teleconference being canceled? Does it tell you that the NCAA probably working on maybe some more important things, believe it or not, than just the selection of the tournament? But are they going to let fans in, and how are they going to deal with different regulations from different states that are maybe more severe with this coronavirus?
Yeah, I mean, we can only guess at this point. Obviously, we don't know what kind of conversations they're having. We don't know what the motivations were for canceling that that conference call. But I mean, I imagine they have to be in constant contact with the authorities over this, both at the state and the federal level. And I know, especially some states, some governors have said, you know, we're not going to have any gatherings greater than 100 people or 1,000 people or something like that. If I'm not mistaken, I saw something go across Twitter that Jay Inslee in Washington did something similar to that. And there is a NCAA tournament location in Washington, in Spokane. So that obviously runs directly in conflict with that. So it's like, okay, how is this all going to work out? What are going to be the rules here? I know Ohio doesn't want to have a lot of big events, and I believe there's a regional or a pod in Cleveland. So there has to be a lot of that discussion. Certainly this thing is moving quickly, and I don't think anybody really knows what to do with it yet, because obviously it's not one of those outbreaks that it's basically everybody that gets it is in fatal level trouble, but it's still a high enough percentage that it's dangerous, and it's spreading extremely quick, and it's extremely contagious from what we can see so far. There's a lot of information I think that people were going back and forth with, and I think there's constantly more possibility of things that be either being played with no crowds or not being played at all. I mean, it seems like they are determined to go forward and play this NCAA tournament. At this point, I would be surprised if it goes the other way. But I mean, I think there's a greater and greater possibility daily that there's going to be at least some sites that are played with no fans, with no crowd. And I think that's obviously something they don't want to do. But I think in a way till they're demanded that they have to do it that way. But it's obviously something they must be discussing and considering as this thing continues to move, because it doesn't seem like it's being contained in any way. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a state that is not in some way touched by this thing. It doesn't think that this thing is going to go away, certainly within the next couple of weeks. So obviously everybody else is, you know, other sports are obviously making their contingency plans for it, just starting with, closing locker rooms. So a lot is going to move. And again, we're not sure how this thing is going to go, but just the way this thing is moving, I'd be surprised if you don't continue to see more restrictions.
Dustin, let's get into the game tonight, Indiana and Nebraska. Is it safe to say the wheels are falling off for Nebraska? Two key players that both average near double digits, if not both double digits in scoring, not making the trip, were suspended indefinitely just before the last regular season game for Nebraska. A couple football players added to the team, so they have the appropriate numbers to play just in case. This is a game Indiana, they've got to win. They've got to win handily. Nebraska is a team right now that is falling apart, literally.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, the wheels, like you said, the wheels absolutely are coming off for that team. So if they don't if they don't win that game, I mean, that's trouble. That's a game that you can play yourself out. I mean, I think right now, even if they don't beat anybody else, they're probably safe, but they just cannot afford to take that bad of a loss. And it's going to look bad, too. I mean, I think it'll look worse now to lose to Nebraska than it did when Purdue did. Certainly that's a loss that, you know, Purdue still has to carry it, and they're not in great shape to start with. So that, you know, what Nebraska is doing is not helping them, but I think people can still look back and say at that point that was a dangerous Nebraska team. At this point, it is falling apart. I mean, Cam Mack and Deshaun Burke are two really key pieces to that, and for those guys to be out for disciplinary reasons doesn't bode well at all. And I think it certainly, you know, calls the question, okay, how is the rest of the team doing? Is this team sort of lost? And then they haven't won for a while, haven't played particularly well for a while. So, for all of those reasons, you have to figure that if Indiana can't win that game, it raises a lot of questions about whether or not they belong in the NCAA tournament. What they're going to be facing is a team that they should absolutely beat. There's still a couple of dangerous guys on that, with, I think, Cheatham and Thorbjornsen, some guys that can hit some threes, but it doesn't seem like there's enough. Certainly not enough size and definitely not enough firepower, I think, at this point to be able to take down Indiana. It shouldn't be able to. Indiana is going to have to do a lot of things wrong to lose that game.
Dustin, let's talk, and Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic is my guest. Let's talk about Indiana's history in the Big Ten tournament. It has not been good. And I know you think, well, Indiana's not made the tournament now a few years. Things have slipped a little bit, coaching changes. But this goes even beyond that. Indiana historically has not been good in the Big Ten tournament. How do you figure that out? How do you explain that if you're Indiana, that year after year they've had early exit after early exit? I'd have to go back and look at the records, and you might know what their best performance or best year in the tournament was. But if you're Indiana, how do you explain something like that year after year, coach after coach?
Yeah, no, it's bad. And to think about it, that it's usually, you know, maybe more times than not in this period, it's been in as close to a home game as it can be for you, and they still lose. But I mean, it's amazing. This, you know, some of it is bad breaks. Sometimes they have just, you know, in some cases it's just taken not great teams in the Big Ten tournament. I mean, there's obviously been just this down period has coincided with the beginning of the Big Ten tournament. I think, it didn't exist in the night era, I don't believe. I think 2000 might have been its first year. So that obviously is a key piece to it. Or maybe that was a little bit before that, but the bottom line is the Big Ten tournament did not exist long in the period where Indiana was a powerhouse program. And since then, they've obviously gone through a lot of turmoil. So that's a big explanation for why. But even when they've had good teams, they haven't been able to win it. I mean, you look at the 2013, I think they lose in the second round. I think they got Wisconsin. I think the year before that, you know, I think that was the year Rob Wilson goes off for 33 points. And that was an Indiana Sweet 16 team, if I'm not mistaken. That was the team that lost to Kentucky in the Sweet 16. So things just seem to go that way. The Blake Hoffarber shot to beat the Eric Gordon team. I mean, there's just so many of those situations. I mean, I remember Luke Recker. I remember I covered it when I was at Penn State, when Luke Recker beat them with the last second shot, you know, not long after he'd left the program. These things just keep happening to Indiana. They seem to always get bad breaks in the tournament. And they want to be, basically the thing for Indiana is to make sure that you're in good enough shape when you get there, that you're safe regardless of what happens in it. They've been bad. Even when they've had great teams, they haven't been able to put it together when they've gone into this event.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of the Athletic, Big Ten tournament starts tonight in Indianapolis. Can you give me a pick or two for what we think will be, if it's anything like the regular conference season, a great conference tournament to take in with some surprises along the way? You got a feeling on this thing at all?
No, because it could be anybody. I mean, it really could. I mean, you look at, you could go four or five deep and look for a champion down there. I mean, I think Michigan's still dangerous as far as a team that would would be a surprise just based on where they're seated. I think Xavier Simpson's terrific, and basically, I always give them a chance as long as they have him. Certainly, I think Michigan State can play up and from its seat a little bit. They're two, and it's not like that would be way out of the ordinary for them. But I mean, I think that team I think is really coming on strong. And starting to play like the team that we thought they were going to be at the beginning of this year. You really think Cassius Winston and Xavier Tillman step up, and I think Rocket Watts has really turned into that third guy. It took a while, I think, for them to identify who that next guy was going to be, because I think they certainly were hoping it was going to be Aaron Henry or Gabe Brown, and it seems like Watts has kind of surpassed those guys, even though Henry is still those guys are still producing on some level. It seems like Rocket Watts is the third most reliable player on that team at this point. So those guys have a shot. Obviously, Maryland certainly has the talent. I think Ohio State's played well down the stretch. I still really like this Illinois team as well. I mean, I don't know that they've got the juice to pull it off, but I think Io DeSumo is a terrific closer. I think he's just made so many big-time shots, and I think that's the sort of guy that really makes a difference in these conference tournaments. So, I mean, I think there's a chance you'll see him do something special in this one. So I think all those teams have a shot. I think Ohio State can win some games. You never know, Penn State can put it together if they can get past Indiana and get a move on and get going in that tournament. Anything is possible. I think Purdue, obviously, I think needs it more than anybody, and starts off as a 10. And obviously, you've seen them put some great games together. Even they haven't been consistent at all. So, I mean, but if they could get two or three in a row, they could put themselves back in at least in the discussion. I don't know if they have to win the whole thing to get in, but they've got to do a lot, and they're certainly you think they're determined to do so.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Dustin, crazy times. We think a crazy tournament coming up, Big Ten and NCAA, and, of course, following this coronavirus and the effect that it has or could have on the NCAA tournament and sports and really our country as a whole. Just crazy to take all this in. Thanks for your coverage. Thanks for your work. Always enjoy this chat each week. Stay healthy, and we'll talk with you next week.
Will do. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Going to head to a quick break. We come back with Providence coach Ryan Miller in his very first year as a head coach. He's got his team off to the regional on Saturday at Southridge, a legendary Huntingburg gymnasium. We'll talk with Coach Miller about the season, the sectional, and what's ahead this weekend for the Pioneers after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Providence coach Ryan Miller joins me in this segment. It's been fun this week so far to talk with Todd Sturgeon of Floyd Central on Monday, Brandon Hoffman of Silver Creek Tuesday, and now Coach Miller of Providence today. And, of course, that means Steve Kerberg of Christian Academy of New Albany will join us on Thursday. All guys, all coaches from Clark and Floyd counties that are coaching their teams to regional action this weekend across the state. And I tell you what, Coach Miller, first year at Providence. Things are going in a great direction. And as I go back and look at your scores from the season, and as I think back about some of the good moments for your team this year, you know, there were some close calls, some went your way, some didn't early in the season. And by no means was it a perfect year at all. But this is a team, if you look at things, that consistently got better. And exactly, I'm sure, as a first-year coach taking over a program, what you want to happen is for each game that goes on, the players to continue to buy into the system in good moments and even in bad moments. And I think that goal was definitely accomplished in the regular season this year for Providence.
Yeah, Matt, good to talk to you again. Agree entirely with that. It was definitely not a perfect season. We had some, it was a process. As you said, you know, at the beginning of the year, we maybe weren't even a really good team, but we were a team that was playing hard and playing together. And as you said, we had a few, close ones go our way, which I think was important for this team in year one, just to gain some of that, belief. And confidence in their abilities, to where they could continue to work hard and allow us to push them. And they certainly did. And as you said, the main thing, I guess, this year was just that boys bought in early on and just continued to improve.
Ryan Miller of Providence is my guest. 18-7 are the Pioneers as you head to the regional round. Let's go back and talk about the sectional performance, the sectional week for your Providence team. Some good wins in that week. Austin 68-46 got sectional play rolling for you guys on Tuesday night. Came back against Switzerland County, a 10-point victory. And then, of course, in the championship game, a very good team, Southwestern Hanover, that had beaten you earlier in the season. You basically flipped the script on them, plus some, because I think they beat you 12 or 13 points in the regular season. Maybe it was a few more than that. But you got them pretty good in the championship game, and that had to be a win that not only sent you to the regional round, but kind of proved some of your points and some of your coaching throughout the season that we're going to get better if you stick to this plan, if you stick to this program, and you beat a team that had beaten you, and you beat them by a sizable margin.
Yeah, Coach. I can't tell you how pleased the coaching staff has been with the boys. You know, as we talked about before, there's been some ups and downs, you know, but through all of it, the boys have worked hard, and it's nice when you start to see things come together, you know, for a group of kids who have been working hard and putting in the time and been very coachable. And, you know, as coaches, we hope that the boys can put it together, you know, and be playing, you know, some of their best basketball at the end of the season. And fortunately for us, over the last month, we've started to, I guess, hit on all cylinders, and certainly the boys played really well last weekend.
Coach Miller, I know that seniors have been a big part of this team, and obviously some of them we talk about more often than others because of how many points they're scoring or a big defensive stop that they had on the court. But you've got a good group of seniors, and it's clear from talking with you over the course of the season, but it's also clear from watching not only the game but your bench as well, that this group, I think it's five seniors on your roster this year, are leaders on and off the floor and really have helped, I'm assuming, become an extension of you and your coaching staff as far as what you want to get done and what you want to teach in this first year, and they've really helped that process.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely correct. There's no way we could have, you know, done what we've done this season without our seniors. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head with everything you just said there. The leadership, you know, both on the floor and off the floor. There, you know, somebody asked me the other day, kind of, hey, what do you think the strength of your team is? And I said, well, you know, they're very unselfish group. They're entirely about the team. You know, they have good attitudes. But, you know, I said, you know, maybe the greatest strength of the team is just we have really good kids. And certainly our seniors have set that example and that tone. And as you alluded to, even some guys that, you know, there are some key seniors that, you know, maybe a kid like Alec Fougerou, you know, he may not average double digits, but he'll come up with big plays, with big loose balls and great defense, you know, guys like that. Guys like Austin Barnett, who's been out almost the whole season with injuries. And then, you know, he just sticks with it, you know, fights through the adversity of injuries and comes on here at the end of the season to give us some really good minutes. Of course, everyone knows about Sterling Huber and Austin Grants and, you know, what they bring to our team. And then you got a kid like Bryce Hutchins, who is another senior who really plays, you know, doesn't play many minutes for us in games, but he brings a leadership to our team that is just instrumental in everything we've been able to do.
I'm talking with Providence coach Ryan Miller, as we have all the local coaches on, four of them from Clark and Floyd counties, on this week's program here each day, one each day that will take their team to the regional on Saturday. Let's talk about your regional coach. You'll take on South Spencer, a very nice program this season. They are 22-4 and defeated North Posey in thrilling fashion, 56-55 in overtime in the sectional championship game to move on to the regional round of play. I know that as soon as that game was over Saturday night, you celebrated with your team and some of the Providence family, but knowing you the way I do, you were right back at it on Sunday after a brief celebration time trying to gather all the information you could on your next opponent. In general terms, what have you learned about this quality team you guys are going to face on Saturday morning in the first game?
Yeah, I mean, they're a really good team. I mean, you don't get to 22-4 without being a really good team. Which they certainly are. You know, they appear to be well coached. They have a very talented guard play. On the perimeter, you know, just have some guys who, you know, somewhat reminiscent of Southwestern, a team we just played in some ways, with, you know, a big time scorer playmaker out there, some shooters around them, and some other guys, you know, in the post who seem to really understand their roles well. So, you know, they're a team with good balance and you know, kind of a star player and shooters to go around them. So definitely, you know, a tremendous challenge.
Ryan Miller of Providence, my guest. So you guys take on South Spencer. That's the first game, 11 a.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. time, I believe, in Southridge, Huntingburg. The second game is Linton Stockton. Now, they are 24-2. I believe they are number two in Class 2A basketball, and they'll take on Crawford County in that second game. It's a very good regional as far as teams playing well, as far as some of the better teams in Southern Indiana basketball in that class. It's also, if you look at some of the schedules, these teams, all four, have had really, really nice closes to the regular season, which I'm sure were big confidence boost heading into the sectional for them to get those sectional championships. But in addition to that, a lot like I mentioned and chatted some with Brandon Hoffman about yesterday, in addition to being a big-time atmosphere and great competition and seeing some really good individual players as well on Saturday, what a gymnasium that you get the opportunity to play in there at Huntingburg. It's a lot like the Hatchet House that Silver Creek will be playing in on Saturday, not far from you as well. Just a very special gym as far as the history of basketball in Southern Indiana goes. And I'm not sure if your kids realize that or not, but I know that you and some of your coaches do. A very unique place, and that alone will be some special moments regardless of what happens on the court Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Well said. Well said, Coach. Yeah, I'm a little partial to the gymnasium myself, as you know, we've been fortunate in years past at Providence when I was coaching with Coach Lefebvre to have a couple teams, you know, advance to the regionals, and 1 year got beat by Forest Park, who went on to win the state championship in a close game, and another year had a couple nice wins and were able to win the regional, back in 2012. So yeah, a lot of great memories there for us personally. And as you said, what an awesome atmosphere. It kind of, as I recall, the first time we went there, I guess back in 06, it would have been, my brother was playing then. They had the Hoosiers, music soundtrack playing, and we walked in there and we looked at each other and like, man, this feels like we just stepped back into the 1950s, and the gym was packed, and it was just, it felt like just quintessential, Hoosier hysteria, at its finest. So yeah, we are so just excited for our boys, as you really just stated, to just have this experience. Obviously we're going there to do our best, and we're going in there with plans to win. But we also know, regardless, it's going to be a really positive experience for our boys to have.
Coach Miller, final question for you. I know you want to keep this about the team and the program and the success that you guys have had together this year, but as a former Providence player, one that had a very good career for the Pioneers, and as someone that spent a number of years as an assistant coach at Providence under Lou LaFay, and then now making your way back as the head coach, what's this season been like? And in this first year to win 18 games so far and to win a sectional championship and to kind of see things really get rolling here in year one, what's this been like? How special has this been for you and your family? You mentioned your brother that played as well. How special has this whole deal been so far this season?
Yeah, Matt, that's the word for it. It has been special. It's been very special. For me personally, for many of the reasons you just mentioned, and I think collectively for a lot of people, for the guys on our coaching staff, I can't speak highly enough about the assistant coaches we have. Lance Stimler, is a guy who could be a head varsity basketball coach. Dan is a guy who could be a head varsity basketball coach. We got guys like Brad Denman, who's kind of like a director of basketball operations for us, doing all these, important things, program. And then you got some former players, at Providence under Coach Lefebvre and myself. We had another guy, Chris Carruthers, our JV coach. So we just got a collective group of guys who have a real connection to the school, a lot of alumni. So it's been special for all of us. And then to see, with the connection we have with community, see a lot of former players coming back and a lot of individuals who have just been tremendous supporters of Providence High School and of the basketball program, and to be able to see the whole community be able to, share in some of this together has been, it's been special for all of us to witness and to be a part of.
Great stuff. Ryan Miller, a Providence coach, like Coach Sturgeon and obviously Coach Hoffman, you and Coach Kerberg, who we will talk with tomorrow. Best of luck to the Pioneers. We are proud of how you represent the area. Look forward to seeing you do some great stuff there in future years to come as well. And appreciate the time. We'll be following you on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks so much, Matt. Yeah, and hey, good luck to all of our other, good skill, as Coach Lefebvre would say, to all of our other local teams. That is pretty awesome. We've had such a strong area, and that's what to our boys. We've been prepared, battle-tested with all the great teams we've had to play in our area this year. So, we've really enjoyed getting to play the great.
Absolutely. Coach Miller, best of luck. Ryan Miller, first-year coach at Providence. Good stuff from the Pioneers, and best of luck to them this weekend at Huntingburg. We'll head to a quick commercial break, come back with News and Tribune sports editor Josh Cook. We'll talk some local sports headlines, which of course includes our four local teams in this weekend's regional games spread out across southern Indiana. That's next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here for this final segment on this Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. And this segment each week is presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs. That includes t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, fully sublimated uniforms, whatever it may be. Let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. Visit mlshirtco.com. to find out more. Josh Cook of the News and Tribune is with me, and we always talk some of the local sports headlines to close our program on Wednesdays. Josh, I'm going to start with a tough one for you right out of the gate. We've got four teams left that have advanced on sectional champions to play in regionals this weekend. Of those four teams, who do you think has the best chance to not only win the first game, but to win the championship at night and go on to represent the area in a one-game semi-state a week from Saturday?
That's a tough one, but I guess I'd have to say Silver Creek just because of what they have and who they are. But they've got the toughest regional maybe in all four classes. I don't know. You got number one, two, and three, and then the home team. Every team in that regional has won 20 games, and oh man, that's just going to be a great should be a great atmosphere up there. But I think Silver Creek can beat Heritage Hills and then take down Greensburg or Washington, whoever comes out of that second semifinal. But man, that is going to be quite an environment up there in Washington.
Yeah, and I'm envious, and I'm glad I'm going Saturday. But I've never been to Washington, to the Hatchet House.
No, me neither.
For a meaningful game. Mm-hmm. I was there for like a Indiana junior senior all-star exhibition one year, and it was neat to be there and great to see it and say you've been there. That was back during the time that the Zellers were going through, so even extra special. But to see it this weekend, and Coach Hoffman told us yesterday he really feels like there's a chance that place will be loaded up, packed for those games, and I think it typically is on regional Saturday. So great to see it. Looking forward to seeing that game with some real meaningful tournament basketball being played there. But, you know, they must be really organized and really taking it serious, as some of these communities do. Like, you know, I think Seymour, just tremendous when it comes to hosting events. I got a note yesterday, you probably got the same thing, from Washington about parking. With this long list of parking recommendations and things you should not do when you park, and make sure you avoid fire hydrants and crosswalks and yellow lines. And if you come out of the game and your car's not there, here's the number you can tell people to call. So obviously they're getting in advance of what they feel like will be a big crowd now in Washington on Saturday. Let me change gears a little bit. You mentioned Silver Creek. Let's talk about Seymour. Floyd Central playing some good basketball, really got things going at the sectional, was able to put away Jeffersonville pretty early. After the first period, they were able to do the exact same thing to Jennings County as well. No question that Hydebreeder-Gohman, that combination, add in Caleb Washington, add in some other players here and there, and they are playing some really good basketball right now. They almost got Bloomington South in Floyd's Knobs this year. Can they get them on a neutral floor in Seymour with a big Highlander crowd behind them this weekend?
They should have beat them at home there in December. Man, they had them on the ropes. I was at that game and watched the end of it. I mean, it was they definitely had that one right in hand. But I think they definitely have a shot to win. They've played them once before, and it was right down to the wire, and you know, like you said, they're going to have a big crowd. I'm sure Bloomington South will have a big crowd. But, you know, the X factor, you mentioned some of the other guys who have been stepping up lately. That's kind of one of the X factors, along with, that zone that Floyd Central has been playing recently that has worked out pretty well for them. We'll see if that holds up against Bloomington South, which is, a really good outside shooting team.
Also, Josh, I don't want to ignore this, but as we get further and further into the month of March, yes, we're all basketball right now, but we're getting closer to the spring season. And I know as a newspaper guy, you've got to think about that as you get your previews ready and start thinking about what's next. But definitely, you know, we're in a transitional time when the last local team from basketball is defeated. We hope that's not until the state championship, obviously, but that's just around the corner as well.
It could be, you know, it could be this weekend. It could be next weekend. Who knows? But, you know, we'll see what happens with the coronavirus, too. You never know.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting to follow. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, my guest. Don't forget all this regional stuff you can read about throughout the week. Lots of great previews going up. And, of course, Josh and his team will be on the road this weekend to cover those games. You can read them in the print edition of the News and Tribune, also online at newsandtribune.com/sports. Josh, as always, thanks for stopping in. Fun to catch up with you each week here on the program. And we've got about 30 seconds or so left. Romeo Langford last night didn't score any points, I don't believe, but he got some minutes, got some time for the Celtics in Indiana, Indianapolis.
Yeah, 10 minutes, 0-for-4, I believe, from the field, but he did have a rebound, so, you know, that's good. But he got in the game this time, so that was good. Also, Holy Cross College, coached by Providence alum Mike McBride, won their first NAIA tournament game this morning.
That's great. That's great. Coach McBride, a 91 graduate of Providence, I believe, if I'm got the year correct.
Good job.
I know he's a Providence guy, but congratulations to Coach McBride, a good guy, good coach. That's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday show. IU tonight, we've got the broadcast here on the Big X with Don Fisher and crew. IU Nebraska will recap everything tomorrow. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.